Welcome to the Jada Edwards Podcast. Today, I have my favorite guest ever. I already know it's going to be that way. You might get some behind the scenes. Hopefully, it's encouraging. I'm sure it's going to be funny. Stay tuned. I've got my amazing husband, Dr. Conway Edwards. This is the Jada Edwards Podcast. Welcome to Season 5. As usual, we're going to get into the Bible and the Word of God, but we're also going to talk about friendship and overall wellness, what it means to be in various seasons of life, laugh a lot, and grow together. I can't wait for you to see what's in store. All right. We are here. Y'all, I have to book to get on this man's calendar just to try to get this podcast. And so I had to pray, had to bribe his assistant, stalk him at the church. And so we are so glad you're here. Thanks, honey, for being on the podcast today.
It is my pleasure. It really is. I can't wait. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I look forward to it. It's usually fun.
None of us do. We really don't know what's going to happen. Okay, so we're going to start off with some fun questions because I think there's things people don't know about you. What do you like to do in your spare time?
In my spare time, I enjoy the godly answer or the regular answer?
The regular answer.
Okay, regular answer. Yeah. I enjoy swimming, enjoy playing soccer, especially now with my son. I think it's the best thing ever, even though he never listens to me when I coach him. But it's still fun. I love it. Love, 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 love it.
Yes. Like, so your ideal vacation day, when we go on vacation, how are we different on vacation?
On vacation, it's not a vacation if there's not a beach. It's not a vacation if the room I'm in is not 15 steps to the beach. Not a vacation. It's something else. It's work, but it's not a vacation. For Jada, hers is she wants to go see something, experience something, meander through something, listen to thoughts about something
old,
all
historic.
Of which is work to me.
So I'm trying, this is 23 years in, trying to convince my husband there are actual destinations that are not a beach. He recently saw some pictures of the Grand Canyon, y'all, and there may be some hope because he was like, what?
There's some water at the bottom, though. There's water at the bottom.
We're not going in that water. We're going to be at the top looking down. So, on vacation, y'all, he is podcasts and books and planning meetings. Yep. And what do I do on vacation? Do I plan and listen to podcasts?
Do I need to tell him the whole schedule? She sleeps.
It's pretty much the same.
She enjoys sleeping.
Yes.
She enjoys good, great, incredible food, mm-hmm. and she enjoys nature walks, and Jada enjoys a good book that has nothing to do with anything in real life, and she enjoys just laying around and dreaming.
Amen. And on vacation, my husband says, what's the agenda? Everybody up. I'm like, what?
Every morning, what time are we getting up? After, at 8. Breakfast at 8:15, we know the whole thing. It's a deal.
It's a wonder the Lord has worked it out for 23 years. Okay, what is, the timing of this podcast could not be better because we're in the middle of a series called Cycles, and we've been talking about, I feel like even now, 23 years in, I keep listening to things going, man, that would have been good to be thinking about 20 years ago. Yeah. We've had some great messages that have resonated with our singles, people who are divorced, people who are thinking about marriage, people who are well into marriage. So in all that you've been teaching, because one of the things I love is that even when you're preparing to teach, you're learning new things too. And all the things you've been teaching so far, what's something that has really resonated with you? Like, this is really a game changer for marriage.
Yeah, I think the concept of a pre-decision, the concept of making decisions today that help you make less decisions tomorrow, and thinking through those deeply up front, I think is a game changer. So, for example, genuinely and authentically knowing that you should listen to your heart and not your words, I think is profound. Listening for the hurt, not how it's packaged, I think is profound. And I think if you do the hard work up front and cultivate the habit of, you know, let's say 20 pre-decisions you're making before you actually have so many decisions to make all day long, I think would have been a massive game changer and would have avoided some of the mistake we made all the way through.
Mm-hmm. You talked about one of them on Sunday that is still funny to me. I feel like the Lord just set you up to be the superstar about 6 months into our marriage, so I wouldn't bring it up again. But when you shared with our church that you decided we would live on one salary, mm-hmm. and that the salary we would live on would be whoever made the least.
The Lord, yeah.
And y'all, he was international. He was on a visa. He worked part-time. He made like $2 a day. I was like, sir, marriage is about to upgrade. I had things in my head. I'm like, we about to have this. And you're like, no. And we got money for our wedding. He's like, oh, we can save all of it. I was like, all of it? But that
and
was,
we're still doing that today.
We still doing
saving
that today.
All of it.
Look how the Lord has worked it
sure
out.
Sure is.
Lord. But so that was a big pre-decision mm-hmm. that has really shaped the trajectory of where we are today.
Yeah.
As far as being debt free, or we didn't feel like we needed to have a house right when we got married. We were in that little apartment for 7 years.
7 years.
Still having get togethers. Yeah. Pots under the bed.
Everybody in there. Yeah. No, and the pre-decision was the pre-decision. By the way, we didn't know this phrase. We didn't had never heard about it in our lives before.
It was accidental.
But it was just one of those, probably because I knew what it felt to be broke, and I didn't want to be broke again. And so we just decided we're going to live on one income. All that meant was 60%. We say 60% now just because for some people it's so hard. So we'd live off one income, and then the other one we would save, and the other one we would save so that we could give more, so that whatever God wanted us to do, we could act on it. Whatever we wanted in the future, we could do. And then also you got to remember, when we started that one, we're really saving for Jamaica because
right.
we weren't sure
okay.
we're going to live here.
Side note, y'all may not know this. When I married this man, I was under the impression that we were going to live in Jamaica.
And she said yes still.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Look at God.
I'm trying to figure out Listen, we were going to live here for 5 years.
Yep.
Saving up everything to go live in Jamaica.
And become missionaries.
Yes. We were going to be missionaries.
Absolutely.
Oh, my Lord.
Do you remember that? That was awesome.
God is so good.
And then for some reason, he changed the whole plan. Actually, for some reason,
yeah.
I got on his plan because I was doing my own thing. So
yeah.
that was funny. But yeah, it did make a massive difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a much bigger down payment for our house when we bought our first house. But we had to say no to a lot of things that all our friends and the couples we hung out with at the time, they were getting everything they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, their life is not our life. And it really was easier in hindsight, knowing that we had a plan to go to Jamaica.
Right, right. We were living light anyway.
The sale was easier.
Yeah.
We just wanted to live as on as little as we can, because we knew when we go to Jamaica, we'd have to live on as little as we could.
Yeah. I was thinking about that when you were teaching this weekend, how that the ripple effect of that keeps showing up. So even when we got our first house, for those of you who are under 25, you may not know, but this country in the early 2000s, right, 2010-ish, went through a huge mortgage crisis. I mean, it created a recession because people were getting homes based on income they didn't have, and it was a whole big mess. I mean, major companies, major financial institutions shut down. And I remember when we were applying for a loan,
yep.
that they wanted to give us a house beyond what we said
yep.
we wanted to pay. And they were like, oh, we can make you afford it. And then we stuck with our plan. And so when all of that began to crash, we were still solid. And
absolutely
we didn't,
fine.
You know, it. So it shows up in a lot of different ways. Okay, here's the question. Do you think with the pre-decisions, it's something that needs to be like written down, articulated? Or is that something each person can just kind of keep?
I think the wiser you are, the more of a guide it can be to help you make wiser decisions in the future, and to make you have to make less decisions. And you can say no to people so much easier because of these pre-decisions.
Yeah.
And I just wish it for everybody that they would really think long and hard. And the older you get, they'll change, and they will, what you care about more deeply will show up in your pre-decisions. But it's just good to think through, here are my values, and then in light of these values, let's make some decisions about it before we're faced with the fork in the road or a crisis that shows up. So I think it's vital. Yeah,
that's so good. And the money one is so good because it affects everything. Like, you just assume, oh, I got a raise, we must be getting a new something.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a pre-decision with how you think about money, every promotion, every raise means I must be doing more, getting more.
Yeah.
And every layoff can set you back to some place that really God didn't intend for you. So I love that idea. So think about that, y'all. And that's, you know, that is for married, single, whatever. If you're single, pre-decisions. Who are you going to date? Who are you never going to date? Like, what are you going to be open to? That kind of stuff.
Yep.
So always a good thing for that. Okay. So here's the other question. What do you think now that we have many years of marriage under our belt, what do you think has surprised you most based on how you thought marriage was going to be? Like, we're both pretty strong personalities, and I think we both had some picture of what we thought marriage was going to be like. What do you say now, looking back? You know what? I didn't expect that, but this is great. The Lord knew.
I did not expect two things, actually. I did not expect that it would be the thing that would grow me the most in my relationship. That's it. I didn't expect that at all.
That was a very godly answer.
But it's the truth. I didn't expect that it is the thing that matures you the most in your relationship with God. And I think it's the thing that has driven my prayer life more than ministry, mm-hmm. which is also incredibly honoring for me to talk about. Mm-hmm. That's because I think you come in with all of these assumptions that you have of what it's going to look like, right. These hopes, these dreams, these desires, and then you just hit the funny part is you don't know what the Lord's going to throw you or the Lord's going to allow in your path that will mature you mm-hmm. to become who God's calling you to be. Mm-hmm. And
that you would not have picked.
Absolutely like, not. Yeah, you and I think it's just been a roller coaster, but a joy at the same time. Mm-hmm. Really, really. And by the way, I hate roller coasters, but
side note, he does. He for says, real. I don't know why Americans pay to get scared.
It's stupid. Why would anybody do that? That's just not wise. Until you have kids and then they yes. want to go.
I'm training them up in the way they should go. They love roller right. coasters. Right. Amen.
And then they force me to go with
that's
them.
Right.
He just did. And,
they guilt you as a parent.
That's right. And I closed my eyes the whole time and I screamed the whole time and then I'll never do it again.
It did. I think it took you the rest of that day to recover.
It did all day long. But you can't be raising a warrior and then tell him you're scared to go on a roller coaster. So I had to close my eyes all the way through it and say, no, Jesus, right. me and you both, if somebody didn't fix something, I'm going to glory. But here we go.
He cannot testify as to what actually happened on the roller coaster.
Absolutely not.
Because his eyes were closed from the time they got on to the time they got off.
Right.
He just knows that he survived.
Why would anybody do that to themselves? Go on something, going that fast. And you have no idea if they did their repairs right, but you put your life in their hands. Anyways, what else?
Listen, traffic is scarier than roller coasters, so I don't.
But I can veer off in traffic. There is no veering off the roller coaster.
First of all, the way you drive in traffic is not recommended.
It probably isn't, but I've never been in an accident.
That's what he says, but we always say, but we don't know how many you have caused. So you have never been in an accident, but the way you roll up on people, sir. Oh my God, y'all, he's an aggressive driver when he wants to, but I'm not going to talk about
but
it.
But my car keeps me in the right
yes,
lane.
His car has lane assist, which a lot of cars do. Pretty but dope. I keep explaining to him, it's just a notification. It's not driving for you. You no. still have to drive the vehicle. And within the lane, your car can still move a lot. That's why that cop pulled you over.
But I didn't get a ticket.
See, always.
Sorry, my bad.
That probably has more to do with what he said than what actually was happening. Oh my gosh. Okay, I wanted to answer that too. Something that I did not expect to enjoy or just didn't expect, yeah, as a part of marriage. I think I had so much baggage about submission and being controlled and all that because my mother, very introverted, just a natural follower of my dad, strong personality. And my personality is more like my dad's. And I just remember growing up going, mama, that's good for you. It's not going to work for me. And somehow I still married this very strong will, strong personality person. And I thought in those first years, as we were trying to figure that out, uh-huh. I thought I will never enjoy this. And so now I literally find comfort knowing that I'm covered. And I really, that's I good. Never
that's
thought
good.
I'd get
that's
to
good.
The,
that's good leadership.
For real. I wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
I thought, you know what? This joker said that's good leadership. I thought he was about to be like, you know what, babe? That's good growth. This joker said that's because your husband is amazing. That's basically what he said. I mean, a God may have done a little work on your heart. Look, the people can't even keep it together. I thought, that's good. You know what? It is good leadership, but it is growth. It is.
Absolutely.
And I really find, I can't believe you just said that. Y'all pray for me. I really do find that I enjoy asking you things or running things. And now we still fight and argue because we are who we are. But I enjoy it. I enjoy going, oh, I want to see what Conway thinks about this. Like, even when we're in an argument, you're still the first person I want to, I want to know what you think about something. I don't think I ever thought I would have enjoyed that. Yeah. It just is kind of freeing.
No, I think it's true. I think, you know, my mom was the opposite, which is she would, you know, whatever my dad wanted.
I told you about that.
So the challenge there is, you know, I'd ask myself all the time, what? It shouldn't take all this. It shouldn't have to be a 20-minute discussion before I get an answer. And so, but the joy of a better answer or a better solution at the end of the rigorous discussion, mm-hmm. obviously, is always better than one person dominating and having their idea win all the time. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Rigorous is a nice word. Colorful.
That's a better word.
Colorful. Robust.
We're getting better. We're getting closer.
When we were dating, you don't even know this. When we were dating, yeah, we always have argued. That's how we communicate. We just healthy disagreement. Anyway, we were arguing about something.
65% of the time, healthy disagreement. Go ahead.
So 35% is not healthy. Oh, just when I'm right. No.
The Lord is still using her.
Your signal didn't stop. You're not breaking it. Oh, okay. All right. You didn't want to admit that. You know, I'll be right. That's okay. No, we were arguing. We were dating. Mm-hmm. And my mother, I was living at home, so she was walking by a bedroom door. And my mother is so sweet, such a peacemaker. After we got off the phone, she was like,
are you sure you want to do this?
Are you sure?
Are you sure?
Is this, y'all sound like y'all argue a lot. So much. I was like, that wasn't an argument. We were actually agreeing on something. But it was so different for her. And I think being able to embrace that. So, you know, if you're early in marriage or single, whatever, just, you don't, there's not a right or wrong way to do it. We argued on our wedding day. This man came and told me on the other side of the door, I said, you can't see me at my dresser. I don't need to look at you. But I'm just telling you right now, any money we get for our wedding, we're saving it. I don't want to talk about it after. I was like,
that's right.
What?
We got to set the record straight.
We're about to walk down the aisle.
The vision is clear.
Bro, the vision any about to money be canceled. Get out of here. That's what he did. That's what he, not like I'm so excited for this day. No. I just want to let you know that any money we get for our wedding is
so
paying for this honeymoon.
Any other money.
Give me all the cards.
That's right.
Talked about, and then we went to dinner in my wedding dress in your tux and made our financial plan after we've been married for 4 hours.
We went, but the restaurant was cool though. It was a quiet little restaurant on the lake. You remember that?
Yeah, we got some hookups because we kept our wedding clothes on.
That's right, we got some hookups.
We did. Praise the Lord for that.
Gift cards.
They got us through our first 10 years of marriage. Okay, so here's another question that I get from people. How important is like missional alignment, or like his purpose needs to match my purpose, or her purpose needs to match my purpose? Like, people talk about that a lot. I don't know that we are a textbook example. I think it's really unique that we both wanted to do ministry and that you have a passion for discipleship. I have a passion for Bible teaching with women. Like, there's a clear marriage, I think, with what we're both passionate about. Sometimes it's not as clear, but there's still alignment. God is still saying, hey, this can work. How do people start to think through whether or not there's enough alignment in what we want to do where it can work together? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I really do believe that the man is responsible for making sure that he's discipling his wife. And by that, I mean, I think he has to know what God's calling him to do. And then I think it's his job to discover, if his bride does not yet know, to discover or help to discover where and what God is uniquely calling her to do. And if she knows that already clearly, then it's his job to figure out how and why God brought them together and how they will morph together into a potent weapon for the arsenal of God.
Ooh, okay, stop. Before you go any further, hold on. Yeah. That is heavy. Okay, so you're saying the man needs to know his calling, needs to have his life together.
100%.
And he needs to have studied and observed his wife enough before marriage and in the first parts of marriage to be able to give her guidance and clarity and support in whatever she needs in her calling as well.
100%. I think the guy has to figure out.
Dudes, y'all better get it together.
He has to know what God's calling him to do. And even if his bride is the more showy gift in what God's calling them to do, he's got to clearly figure out how those two marry each other, because they have to be on one accord. Obviously, Amos says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Mm-hmm. So therefore, it is his job to know what he's really good at, core strength, and his job to know what his bride is really good at, core strength, mm-hmm. and then figure out how those two come together. Mm-hmm. We've got some friends where she is the face of their ministry, mm-hmm. and he is the manager of that ministry. Mm-hmm. He used to work in corporate, mm-hmm. and he used to manage a lot, and so he comes together, and it's a beautiful blend where he's in the background and she's in the foreground. Mm-hmm. But I think it's his job. And if it's not, if mm-hmm. both of them are in corporate America, they still need to discern, how do we seek ye first mm-hmm. the kingdom of God? And what does that look like in ministry? Mm-hmm. And whether that for a season is they just mentor couples at mm-hmm. the house because of kids, or whether that's a season where they're both single and they can do some unique things, that's cool. But he must know where that is, which then brings another question, which is, so then if she is more spiritual than he is, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And then obviously then she should make sure that he's being mentored by mm-hmm. somebody who can get him there. And that does not mean if he doesn't have the leadership gift, he needs to all of a sudden have it.
Right.
But he needs to be able to set direction on mm-hmm. where we're going. So I think that's you.
That's been amazing to watch. I've seen it in the lives of a lot of friends who maybe she grew up in church, or maybe she was just had a deeper anchoring in the Word of God. Maybe he's newer to it. But man, if he has a heart for the Lord and teachability, mm-hmm. the Lord will raise that man up so quick and give him wisdom and insight that you think comes from years of walking with the Lord. Yeah. But I think it's profound what you just said, because you just made a lot of dudes be like, come on, dude, I'm trying to get my life together. Now I get her life together. So it's not a takeover, y'all. For the women, don't get scared. For the dudes, don't feel overwhelmed. He's not telling you what God's calling you to do. That should be something you know before you meet him. And then he's bringing clarity. Because I remember telling Conway, I want to do this, I want to do that. And at the time, I was doing it for our student ministry. Mm-hmm. And because of what we were doing together in ministry, I needed to step down from students. And I just was like, this cannot be the Lord, because this is what I want to be doing. But yielding to that, stepping down from students, that was the first time I was asked to speak somewhere as a keynote speaker. Mm-hmm. And the only reason, I shouldn't even tell you this, because I don't want you to be like, see, girl, God, you bless.
I see lots of those. Testing. Is it on?
Is this thing on? We don't edit that out. So a similar situation, though. I felt like this is what the Lord's calling me to do. I didn't want to step down from teaching our student ministry, but I had to, because I needed to support him and we were doing some things. Y'all, that very year, our student ministry of my former church asked me to be the keynote speaker at the student annual banquet. And they said to me, we've always loved your teaching, but we like to have somebody that's not teaching the kids regularly to come speak. And so because I had taken that leave of absence, like just a few months later, they were like, we want you to come teach. And that just began a very organic process of going to start to speak places. And so at that clarity of a man feeling like I have some responsibility in helping her shape this, it is not a controlling thing, y'all. It's actually a relief. Yeah. And here's the funny part. I can submit. It's never easy, but it is more inviting to submit in other areas when you're not just trying to be my authority at your convenience.
Correct.
When you want to help me in my life purpose, well, then it's a little easier when I want to spend it and you want to save it, right? So the problem with submission and authority is a lot of times men try to exercise authority in the convenient places, and they're not trying to holistically cover you. Yeah. If he's covering you holistically, he cares about your life, your career, all these things, well, then the submission in those uncomfortable areas, I think, becomes a lot more powerful.
No, I think that's huge. I think I remember when we started writing, and I said, I just want you to write books. And it doesn't matter if anybody's going to read them. It doesn't matter if anybody's going to publish them. I just want you to keep writing. And so I remember we'd just write. And and it was, frustrated, did not like it. Because as like a drill sergeant, just keep writing. It doesn't matter yet. Just produce books. And my thesis is, anybody that's really, really good, they always have more for you than you realize. They're never tasked. They never have to come up with it quickly to feed the audience. It's always a much larger pond that they can fish from. So I remember nobody cares about who we are. And I was just writing books, and we're writing books. And before we had the first one actually published from somebody else, we had done probably 4, 5, or 6. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling people, it doesn't matter if you have an audience yet. Just keep writing. Yeah. Increase your craft. Get better at it so that when they come asking, you don't just have one. You've got 5. Now you don't have to rush your whole life to produce something on their schedule again. You've already have it there. And Jada was extraordinarily, she was open to it, but she didn't like the process of doing it without a hard deadline. But again, it's when you care about the person and what God has in them that it becomes, I think, so vital. And Jada's, she's an incredible writer. So then writers get better by writing. And so that was fun.
You know what? Boy,
every now and again,
you all right? You
once in a while.
You really have been like a coach, though, I don't think I'm an easily coachable person, and so it's, I just want to encourage all the husbands out there, aside from temperament and style and all that kind of stuff, that if the Lord's called you to it, He can give you the capacity for it. And women, if you have a stronger temperament or you think this is not His area of expertise, the Lord will give him a discernment. Because seriously, the reason I have books is because you made me write. I would have just been teaching my whole life, and you were like, no, you have to write. And we fought. But He was thinking, this is for your good. Yeah. It wasn't even about money. He just was like, this is something that you have to give. So,
well, you just said 2 things there. Number one, if it's for money, don't write. Just don't
right.
do it. Just
it's stop too it. Hard to be
It must be the thing that it comes effortlessly because you love it so much. And secondly, I didn't notice when I was doing that then, but one of my mentors told me, you're not serious about influence unless you influence people when you're not in the room. And so the only way to influence people when you're not in the room is if they're doing it through podcasts, writing, so that people all over the world can get your stuff and you're influencing them, but you're never there. Too many of us want an audience before we've done nothing. And that's part of the challenge actually of this generation too.
You ain't lying. So, yeah. Okay, so we're almost done. But I want to know, what do you want your kids to remember you for?
I think that at the end of the day, I want my kids to always want to be in my presence. I want them to always want to be around me. I think oftentimes kids get tired of their parents because I was giving them advice and all that. I want our kids to want to always want to be around us because they love being in our presence. All right? So now let me answer the question you asked. So what I want them to remember me by is that it's 3 really clear things: that their dad loved God, that their dad loved His word, and He loved pouring it into others, especially them. That's what I think I want them to know. I just want them to know that one of my mentors says it this way, that literally following Jesus makes you better at this thing called life. And I want them to love Jesus so much that they choose every time to want to be a follower of Jesus Christ and follow His ways. I think if they get that, I would have run the race that God has set out for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you?
That's good. It's so many things. It feels overwhelming sometimes. I have to try really hard not to parent them out of my deficit. Not to just work on the things I know I'm not good at, but to try to create holistic kids. I think I really want them to know that Jesus over everything, like over everything. I want them to see on their own that He has every answer and that He's good, and that I love them and that I love their dad, and that every place I fell short, I trust that. I want them to know that was not intentional. That was Mom doing her best, and God's going to make up the difference. I don't want them to be 40 going, if my mom had done this. I want them to know this is what she did. whether it hit the mark or not, but God already had the gap covered. Yeah. And I want them to feel like whoever they are is exactly how God's going to use them. I mean, not character drilling, right? But, you know, Chloe with her meticulousness and Joy with his compassion and all those things. I think I've been very aware of this lately. Our personalities, our presence. Most kids are not turned on YouTube to see their parents.
Right.
And just being in this. I want them to learn more from what's happening at home than here.
Yeah.
And so I don't want them to feel like they have to produce this to be
somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I just think when you look in the scriptures, for me, Jesus, there are just three things that last forever. God, His word, and people. If you get life right, you know, get to know God through His word and pouring it into the life of people is what will make you eternally satisfied. Yeah. And anything else is trying to get there. And I hope they get it. I hope they catch it from us.
Yeah.
But I hope that they don't miss that. That would break my heart if they think anything is more important than glorifying God through the things that are eternally important in this life and the next.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Okay, here's my last question. Well, it can be two if you want. I want to know what makes you laugh or brings you the most joy. And is there a secret passion that the people need to know about? I have an example. You know what? I don't know if it's much of a passion as it used to be, but something funny popped in my head. And I was like, I bet you people don't know that he likes
this. Okay, ask me the first one again.
What makes you laugh? What is something that you know guarantee is going to make you laugh?
I love observing people.
People are the best.
And people are the best.
They're so funny.
Just, I love going to places and just watch people try to impress other people. And it cracks me up every single time.
It's the funniest thing.
I love watching all the social media channels when I do. Not always, but when I do. And I just love watching people
try to hug an alligator.
Yeah.
It's just the fun. We can go down a rabbit trail.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love everything. I love everything Jamaican. When people are trying, when the bank says, hey, you need to bring proof of residence, and they bring their whole wooden house to the bank.
On a trailer.
As proof of, I just bring your actual residence. You just done. People crack me up all the time. I love going and watching people ice skate. I love it. And just watch a dude trying to impress the girl that he can skate and then fall on his butt. I love
real tears.
All of it. I just love it. I just love people trying to be somebody they're not and everybody else without knowing, and we get to laugh at them. I know it's weird and it's ungodly, but it brings me the greatest joy.
The pastoral side is praying that they discover their purpose.
I've never had that.
No. Okay. I was trying to bring that home.
I know you're trying to make me look godly, but I don't.
But that's because we laugh at ourselves, too. We are.
You got to laugh at yourself. Yeah. I really do love, by the way.
He does laugh. He laughs at himself a lot.
All the time. I think. Anyways, but I love watching her, and I love watching her try to do things that she used to do in the past that she can do no more.
It's just hilarious. You did not. Excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
I have two words for you.
Okay.
Long jump.
And I'm still a great long jumper. I did it in
First
high school.
Of all, I did I don't it in know college. That you ever
and I still
long
do.
Jumped.
And I still
and
do.
And you
today.
Can't practice long jumping in the bedroom.
I do.
I'm talking about.
I do.
Like the bathroom is a runway.
It is a runway.
And he tells me what you're about to see in the air is my feet running like this, and I'm gonna hit the bed.
And then
Has that ever happened?
Is the sand pit, and it's incredible. I still,
and it's
go,
usually this.
I still go long distances.
You do not.
In my head,
your arms are long.
I said in my head.
I don't know that there's any air under. Take this. What is happening right now? And we can.
We are. No.
That sounds like
we're
a
not
ER
getting old.
Urgent
we
care
old.
Trip.
We old. We old. We old.
Yes, we do.
But y'all, so what I love to do is I love to watch in Jamaica. They have all these. The only thing you do in Jamaica is run, right? So you have all these championships that they do all the time. So like I was watching some, you know, I watch some every day because they have the Mia Run. So then when I see the kids doing it in high school, it reminds me of what I used to do. And then I say, you know,
I still got it.
And so I try.
So when you see people outside running, I've seen myself and other people, and they're doing that little shuffle, but their face is like the finish line. Their face is killing it, but their feet are like, I'm like, right. That's what I look like.
Yep.
So you just need to know the reality. Okay, secret passion. I'm just going to say, I don't know why this popped into my mind.
Which one?
Do you remember when you used to love figure skating?
Oh, I'm a Kwanite.
He was like a Michelle Kwan.
I'm a Kwanite.
We would literally be at dinner. He'd be like, we have to get home because figure skating semifinals on. I was like, the what?
I'm a Kwanite. Y'all don't know who Michelle Kwan is, but I'm a Kwanite.
Winter Olympics.
She never won, but I always wanted her to win.
I think she won some things.
Did she?
Yeah. But like he was invested. And oh, yeah. I do not know why.
Yeah. It may be an Olympics thing. I don't know. But that's the only one. And I only really liked Michelle Kwan, because I like underdogs and yes. Kerrigan, I think, or whoever. This is old, by the way.
This is old.
But yeah. I don't think she ever won, but I always wanted her to win, but she never won. But I'm always an underdog guy rooting for the little guy to win. And figure
the most random thing. That was so random. I was like, how did you even know
about
this?
Not cricket.
Right, you're from Jamaica. It's skating. Literally based on ice. How did you know about this?
Not bobsled, figure skating. Who would have thought? Figure skating. Yeah, but it's not all figure skating. Like, I don't watch it anymore. I just wanted Michelle
Kwan to win. I think it was her, yeah. You kind of resonate with certain people.
She was an underdog. Yeah, so anyways.
So that's a funny thing we used to do, and I did listen. Yep. We used to look at people and act like we knew their story.
All royal weddings.
Oh my gosh!
You have to get up.
I'm talking
at
about
three
getting
in the
up
morning
at the crack of
and watch the whole thing, everything. It is a great pastime.
You need to discuss this in premarital.
Yes, you do. But whatever the other person says, you still need to do it, because if you're British, you do royal weddings. It's just what we do.
It's a whole thing,
and everybody must get up. The whole house. Have tea.
To watch these strangers.
Have Thai and go on. And another passion of mine is
accents?
To speak other languages.
Okay.
And accents.
But
it is the best thing
it's
ever.
Not. You
whenever
don't
I go,
do it.
Like
it
when
never
I go to France,
like
we go to Paris.
What you're trying to say.
By the way, see what's happening now? We're talking over each other. It's
it doesn't ever sound like that.
But it's hilarious.
Because
I
when
can
we're
speak
in France,
like an Indian.
We were in France.
Like when I'm in Paris. I can speak. I mean, I know it's the best. I just enjoy doing it. The people in the culture love me. Yeah. It's great.
So when I said it in French, when we're in France, thank you, it's merci. This one, mercy. He walking around sounding like somebody's pastor. And I was like, this is not church. People thought he was crazy. He was like, thank you, mercy. I was like, no.
Mercy.
That's what, yeah. And so if he thinks he's being British, he'll go, can we have a spot of tea? Yes. Or I said, do you know Spanish? Yes. El Pollo Loco. That's what he told me. The name of a restaurant. He used to eat that in California. That's what he tells me. So I just need y'all to understand what I'm living. This man internationally claimed, but no.
Yeah,
not any of it. Not even.
I love it.
Okay, we wrapping up.
Okay.
And I just want to say I appreciate you. And I will say,
if there's any dignity left after this.
If there's any dignity left. This, right. We might drop a couple services. People might be like, I can't.
I just can't.
I will say, out of all the deep spiritual things, one of my favorite things about our marriage is that we laugh a lot. I think it has gotten us through some really tough times.
I agree. You got to laugh at yourself. If you can't laugh at yourself and see your own foolishness, and if you can't laugh at your spouse when they do something stupid, and if they can't take when you laugh at them, then it ain't going to work.
If you don't have like one or two nights a week, maybe at least a month, where you can't catch your breath because you're
barely
in tears over the foolishness, and if you tried to explain it to somebody else, they'd look at you like, that's not even funny. It's time to reignite the flame.
The best thing we ever did, we did this recently to mom. The kids and I, mom goes to work out in the morning.
Oh my God.
And the kids and I, mom is always afraid.
I'm jumpy.
It's just what she is. So one morning,
he come in the house now.
One morning, she tells me to get up and get the kids up. That's not my job, that's hers. But then when she goes to work out, she tells me to go.
There's freedom at the cross.
So that I, when, so this morning I said, okay, kids, we're going to scare mommy.
Was it my birthday?
I don't know what it, yes,
it was
your
my birthday.
It was your birthday. So we all got up and we hiding behind doors. Nobody knows.
The house is pitch dark and quiet.
Because now we need her to know that nobody got up. So when she comes, she should be frustrated that nobody got up and everybody is still sleeping. Chloe, Joa, myself, all hiding. She comes through that. She's supposed to come through one door. She didn't. She comes through the other door. We said, she's not here yet. Yes. She's coming. And so everybody's silent. Mama slinks. Everybody's sleeping. And she walks around the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, when we all came out and says, happy birthday.
Y'all. My soul left.
I promise you, she fell down on the floor. She really did.
On my back.
And she was, she thought five gunmen were in the house.
I was hyperventilating.
And this was her last day.
I'm hyperventilating on my back.
And all of us Jesus, are dying.
Who's here in the house? And my kids sent over me like, happy birthday. This is how we disciple our kids. So I want somebody to mark time, March 2024, however they turn out. This is the kind of stuff. They were so thrilled. The amount of plotting.
Oh.
They can't be quiet to save their life. They were quiet that day.
I mean, quiet.
To scare all the blood out of my body.
It left. It left.
It left my soul. And then I'm telling you, I saw Jesus. He said, girl, you're not done. Go back.
She didn't. It was great.
That's pretty much what
Loved it.
Awesome. We do love to laugh. Sometimes
we do it all the time.
It's at others' expense. But
yep. Sometimes at our own expense.
It is. And our kids are getting good at it. Now they're getting good at laughing
at us. They're getting real good at laughing at us.
It's a little concerning.
Yep.
They are. So, but anyway, dearly beloved. We are gathered here today. No, I'm kidding.
That's it. You saw my robe.
That's it. Please don't put that in. Thank you, honey, for sitting down with me.
It's a joy.
Thanks for almost 20. We're coming up on 23 years.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
23 years.
Wow. Yeah. So it's been a joy. And always good stuff talking to you. And love you.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Yay.
Love you guys.
So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure to leave a comment, leave a review, share, subscribe, all the things, and we'll catch you next time.